Man, I would to God we'd spend as much time in the Bible as we do watching the news. I'm going to be honest with you. We can't affect what's going on in this world without prayer. Face things with prayer. Face things that are going on in this world with prayer. Cover them up with prayer. We're worried about it and we fret about it, but let's cover them up with prayer. Amen?
Yeah.
We talked about last week, Matthew chapter 7, and if you'll turn there quickly. We talked about, enter ye in the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. We talked a little bit about leading a separated life, denial of yourself. The wide gate is everyone else is doing it, fulfilling your own lust. The second thing in the straight gate is you take the road less traveled, and if you're at the wide gate, you're going to fly down the expressway of convenience. At a straight gate, you're going to seek God on God's terms. I want to say that again. If you're at the straight gate, you're going to seek God on God's terms. You're not going to pander to the folks that say, well, you've got to find God on your terms. That's not what the Bible teaches you. The Bible teaches you that you must seek God on God's terms. You must seek God the way God wants to be sought. You're not going to seek God in pleasantries. You're not going to seek God in the way that you want to seek God. You're not going to seek God by uttering in tongues. You're not going to seek God by reading whatever Bible in quotation marks that you want to do. You're not going to seek God that way. You're going to seek God the way God wants to be sought. And He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, and we're going to delve into the waters that very few preachers want to delve into anymore. I'm thankful that we don't have a problem with that in this church. But we're going to delve into waters that make you beware of something. In this day and age, it's very simple to seek out men that you believe are successful. But that doesn't mean that they're successful. There's a difference. I believe a preacher that preaches in a church that holds 10 and he holds on to the Word of God and preaches the Word of God like the Bible tells him to preach it and he only ever has 10 is a success. It doesn't matter that he has only 10. What if he goes out soul winning every day? What if he wins souls every day but 10 come to his church? Is he not successful because he held on to the Word of God? He preached the Word. He was instant in season, out of season, reproving, rebuking, exhorting. He was doing exactly what the Bible teaches. Yet he's not a success because he only has 10. We in America have turned our backs on what God has deemed success and put in our minds what we believe is success.
Right.
Now, I desperately want to have 1,000 in church. Don't misread me. I want to have 1,000 because I'd like to have as many people hearing the truths of God as we possibly can. But if we leave out the truths of God to replace them with something that's attractive to the people, we have failed. I don't want to be attractive to the people. I want to have truth. And I don't want to go away from the truth. So as we talk about this a little bit this morning, we don't have a lot of time this morning, but I don't care how much time we have. I've spent 800 weeks on this Sermon on the Mount. I'm not going to speed up now. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer this morning, and let's talk a little bit about what do we beware of? What do we beware of? Let's pray this morning. Brother Mike Freimeyer, you're back. You haven't prayed in 2 weeks. Why don't you go ahead and stand up and lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Amen. It's interesting that verses 13 and 14 precede the verse that I'm going to read to you next. Many men are afraid of these verses because they're afraid to point out things that might be wrong. They fear that they're going to have a mass exodus out of their church if they desire to tell their people to beware of something. We make no bones about it here at Bethel Baptist Church. We fight for what's right. We believe that we've got the pure Word of God, perfect and inspired, in the King James Bible. It's not difficult if you study the Bible for 10 or 11 minutes to find verses that talk to you about the Word of God. I'm going to be honest with you. If you study the Bible at all, you realize that Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, all talk about the Word being very, very important. Without it, what do we know about God? I've used this illustration before. You talk about salvation. You talk about the things that we know of God. Let's take the Bible out of it for a minute, and then you tell me what you know. It's quiet. You got to understand something. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, if we don't have every word, or every word is not alive, like the Scripture says, the Word of God is quick, not fast, quick, alive, and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. If we don't have that, then what do we have? What do we know? The Bible talks about these next things. And by the way, I'm going to go into a little bit of our statement of faith next week, because I want you to understand what we believe. Because I'm going to be honest with you, as simple as that teaching may be, you may not be familiar with what the Baptists believe. You would think that that should be a foregone conclusion, what we believe. But I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of times that we talk about these things, these statement of faith, and beware of false prophets. How do we know what false is if we don't know what truth is? Right? How do we know what to believe? How do we know? Where does it come from? I've got to be honest with you. Everything that we believe comes from here. If it's not found in here, and this is where we start to fall off, folks. I'm just going to be honest with you. Where we fall off is because we don't read it. We don't read it. How would you know if Pastor Skyver got up here one day and started giving you falsehoods? How would you know? Would you know? Because I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to make a statement to you, and you may not like this. It may raise your eyebrows, but that's okay. I don't want you to believe my dad. I don't want you to believe my dad. I don't want you to believe me. Because if you get into a habit of believing everything I say, you're going to be led astray. You know, you need to hear this. I don't want you to believe my dad. I want you to believe what my dad preaches out of the book. I want you to believe that the King James Bible is a pure word of God. Let me explain something to you. Dr. Cummins didn't live and breathe the King James Bible so we could just trample it under our feet. Right. Dr. Hiles did not believe the King James Bible is a pure, inspired word of God just so we can forget about it and trample it under our feet. Right. False prophets are the people that are preaching against what God hath said. Right. That's what a false prophet is. Right. A false prophet isn't somebody that's pandering about their own agenda, although they do. A false prophet isn't somebody that preaches for gain, although that's what they do. A false prophet is somebody that goes against what the Word of God says. Regardless, everything else is a symptom. Nobody, I can promise you this with all my heart, nobody stands firmer on the King James Bible than I do. They may stand as well as I do. They may stand right with me, but nobody stands firmer. There's never going to be a day, I don't care if your preacher gets up here one day and says, this Bible is not the pure word of God. I promise you this with all my heart, I'll be heading for those doors. Because I would not let somebody come up and tell me they know more than God does. I'm never going to take a thing away from it. I'm never going to add anything to it. I'm going to believe what it says. The problem we have in this country is we've been coming away from the Bible for so long, specifically just because we do not read it, we don't know what it says anymore. Where in the world did the doctrine of baptism get you to heaven come from? Where did that come from? Because it's not in the Bible. Do you know where it came from? It came from a man that had a mouth. He used that mouth to have a voice so he can make money on baptisms, because they charge for that. And they just count that their people won't read it. They count that their people will not read the Scripture. They put their trust and their faith in a man to guide them and direct them in their lives. And I trust my dad. I love my dad. He preaches truth, no doubt about it. But would you know it if he started preaching falsehoods to you? We're going to talk about our doctrine, our statement of faith next week. I'm going to go line by line by line. And that may be boring to you, but I'm going to explain something to you. If you don't know what we believe, If you don't know what the Bible says about your doctrine, earnestly contend for the faith. Do you know what that means? It's quiet in here. Do you know what earnestly contending for the faith means? Do you know what your faith is? Do you know what it means to have faith? I'm thankful that Mrs. Miner is getting baptized today. Baptism is a form of obedience, not a form of salvation. You get saved, and then you get baptized. You get saved, you get baptized, and then you get the Lord's Supper. Churches will tell you that without baptism you can't go to heaven. Wrong. Churches will tell you that without the Lord's Supper you can't get to heaven. Wrong. You get saved because you've got a book. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and you learn of Christ through that book, because it's the incorruptible seed, and the Lord turns the light on for you. Now you can try to make it so because he's a great speaker and because he's got great dynamics, many people are getting saved. Understand this. People are getting saved because the word of God is being preached. I want you to find a place in this Bible where it says somebody's getting saved without the word of God being present. I want you to show me. If you peruse its pages, you will not find a place that somebody is getting saved without the word of God being preached. Beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets. Now, I want you to read this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. They don't look so bad. Bad. They may be sweet. They may be and I'm going to be honest with you. They may have good intentions. A lot of men have good intentions. A lot of men are very sincere. And a lot of men are sincerely wrong. You've got to understand something. The reason that I hold on to this book so hard is because holding on to this book takes me out of the equation. Adding man into the equation, you really walk on thin ice. Because if you add, I love Brother Sells, and Brother Sells is a soul winner. He goes out and tells people about Christ. But I'm going to be honest with you. If Mike Sells goes out on his own ability to tell people about Christ, Mike Sells is going to be a failure. But if he goes out with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit directing him, and he could not be a failure. Do you see the difference? If you add Mike Sells into the equation, you've got a problem. But if you subtract him and add the Word of God, what a great success. Now, this, again, is not going to be popular preaching. This is not going to be something that people are ready to stomach easily. But I'm not afraid of the false prophets. I'm not afraid of the faces of the people that I'm preaching to. I'm not afraid to tell people exactly like it is. Amen. Let me explain something to you, and I mean this with all my heart. We're going to talk about these people, but understand this. If you've got a person that is willing to detract anything, cast any shadow of a doubt about your Word of God, any shadow, because it all revolves around the Word. You can say what you want to say, but that's where this false prophet, what are you a prophet of? You're a prophet of God's Word. That's what it is. If you take anything away from this book, anything, even casting a shadow of a doubt about it, you are the person that they ought to beware of. A false prophet. Let's look at what it says about that. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You may not recognize it right at first. You may not recognize that a person is a ravening wolf right at first. You may not figure out and you may not understand that this person has a different agenda because that agenda in their mind maybe isn't even clear to themselves. You may not understand. You may think, well, this person's a dynamic person. This person's a wonderful speaker. Look at how many people they have. Let me ask you a question. Now, we just went to the cathedral buffet. And I don't like buffets. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't like buffets. I don't like where people can stick their hands in the food right ahead of you. I don't know where they're from. I see people every time I go to those things that taste test right off of the spoon that serves stuff. And I mean, that's just, you got to have no scruples or morals whatsoever to do that. So I don't really care for buffets too much, but the food wasn't terrible. It was pretty good food, to be real honest with you. And I'm gonna be honest with you, Brother Mike, I had 17 plates, so the food couldn't be too bad, amen? And I couldn't wait to be there. I really couldn't. It was an exciting time. It was Josh's birthday. Actually, it was his graduation. That was great. That was great. We had a great time. And I got to think as we walked in that I always wanted to go there because I wanted to see what this man was. It's not hard to recognize that Ernest Angley is a false prophet.
Yeah.
Not hard to recognize that, amen? And I stuck a bunch of Got Life tracks in his little track booth there. $1 a piece. You got to pay for them. It's hilarious. But I stuck a bunch of tracks in there just to be ornery. And Jordan Howard stuck a bunch of tracks in the men's bathroom. And we had a good time. We really did. Not hard to see.
They can get ours for free.
That's right.
Yep. It's like salvation from God.
They build a big work there. They got a lot of people that come to church there.
Yeah, right.
Does that make him successful? So a big work doesn't necessarily make you successful. Let me ask you a question. Is Joel Osteen successful? Oh, my gosh, you're calling names. Seatbelt, brother. Because I got to be honest with you. Dr. Cummings didn't serve God for that many years so we could just pansy out at the end. Paul had no trouble calling out people. What's sad is we have ceased to do that. We've ceased to tell the truth because we're afraid that people will leave our church. We're afraid we mamby-pamby with people.
You're right.
If you go against God's word at all, I don't care what form it is, well, this period ought not be there. You've just become a false prophet to me. Either you believe the word or you do not believe the word. There is no difference. You literally have got to either trust that God has given you exactly what he said he'd give you, or you do not trust what God has exactly said he was going to give you. There is no in-between. There is no gray area. There is no spot where you can stop and camp and hope to come out all right. Either you believe God's word or you do not. You are either a prophet of truth or you are a false prophet. There is no thing in between. Amen. I'll amen myself. I might even sign my own Bible after I'm done. I'm going to tell you, I'm getting a little sick and tired of people cowtowing and panty-wasting around these people because they're so worried about what somebody will think. I'd be more worried about what Paul thinks, about what God thinks, because we panty-wasted at the end.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad you came this morning?
Yeah, I like this. Wow. I like this.
Inwardly, they are ravening wolves. Turn to Ezekiel with me. I looked up some ravening wolves. I understand the vast majority of this is going to be talking about Israel, but let's just see if this fits. Just a thought. Let's just see if this fits. Verse 22. Chapter 22, verse 23. Bible says in verse 23, and the word of men came unto me. Verse 23 says, and the closest thing we could come to the word of God, the Bible says to me, the best we had, this is what God said. The Bible said right there, well, after interpretation from smart people, this is what we had. The Bible says there after translation that was taken care of, this is what the God said. This is the best we got, so we got to live with this. No, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying,
yeah.
Yea, hath
yeah.
God said. What we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and put all of our eggs in the basket that we're smart enough to figure out the old Greek. We're going to be smart enough to figure out the Hebrew text. I love hearing about folks. I love it. Hearing about folks that are smarter than God.
Yeah.
Well, this is what it said in the Greek text. You can't even speak English.
Right.
How are you going to figure out Greek?
Right.
I can't speak Greek. I barely speak English. I thank God he gave it to me in what I can understand.
Right.
Perfect. God's too small to bring it through translation. God's too small to bring it through printing. God's too small to be able to take care of all these things. Take man's hands off of God's word.
Yes.
Take them off. If man had anything to do, oh, I'm thankful for the boy. This is good stuff. I'm going to tell you, I'm getting ornery this morning.
Oh,
if you let the wonderful, wonderful Masoretic priests that had their hands on the word of God, copying them with their pens, and every time they wrote the word of God, they threw the pen out, washed their hands seven times, and got them a new pen. The word God. The word Lord. They would write the word Lord. They'd throw out the pen because the pen wasn't worthy to write anymore after that. They'd wash their hands seven times and come back and start writing again. These people cared about God's word. They really did. But guess what they were? They were sinners. And it wasn't their job to bring the word of God. Because the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Get a hold of this. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation until we get a smarter guy to come along.
Yeah, right. Hogwarts.
From this generation.
Forever.
Until the Greek scholar points out the mistakes.
Yeah.
From this generation. Forever!
Amen.
I'm not even afraid at all this morning.
Amen.
Look at what it says.
The
Son of Man saying to her, thou art the land that is not cleansed. I just want you to read this with me and see if you can put this into a nation. Son of Man saying to her, thou art the land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference. Boy, you got to hear this. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. Yea, hath God said. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. I wonder if that sounds like our country at all today.
Yeah.
I wonder if that sounds like what's going on, but we're too afraid to talk about it.
Right.
We're too afraid to come forward and say there's wrong being preached.
Right.
We're too afraid to come up because we can't go against the meccas of this world and expect everything to turn out all right, because who are we? We only run 200 people in our church. Who are we? I've got to be honest with you. If I run one and I hold on to this word, if I hold on to this, it is a success and right.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to steer the people that the Lord has entrusted to me. And I know I'm the associate pastor. He's the man of God. I understand that. But I get the opportunity to teach this class. And so he's entrusted this class to me. And because he's entrusted this class to me, I think it's right that I preach truth.
Yeah.
Keep myself out of it and preach truth.
Yeah.
Look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Actually, I was going to come back to that.
Okay.
Thank you, though. That's what I'm going to end with. How do we beware? What should we be afraid of? If a sign out in the front of a junkyard says, beware of dog, beware of the dog. You don't just walk in and say, well, that sign must not be inspired. Somebody's telling me it's not inspired, so it must not be true, so I'm going to go ahead and walk in. And as the junkyard dog runs out of chain, you better hope that you're out of range, because otherwise the junkyard dog is going to tear you up. I know one thing, you go soul winning with a preacher at all, he won't even get out of the car when a dog comes up to it. Beware of the dog. Not that hard. Beware of something. Be afraid. Be afraid and stay away from it. Why? Because it might hurt you. Beware of false prophets. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1 is one of my most favorite verses in the Bible. It says, therefore, because of all these things, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Lest at any time we should let them slip. Lest at any time we should let them slip. You got to understand something. If we let something slip in this church from truth, what have we done? Listen, there's churches across America that used to stand here.
You're right.
Used to stand here.
Right.
They used to stand in a place where God was the one that they cared about. Where God was the one. They held Him up. They magnified the Word. Magnified it. Today, they come over here and put the Word under a magnifying glass, not believing what it says.
Right.
See, what's sad, the people have fought down throughout all the ages. And there's another verse talking about ravening wolves that Paul says they will enter in among you. We invite them. We're okay with it. Why? We're too afraid to go against somebody that we deem as successful.
Yeah.
We're too afraid to go against somebody. But those are the ravening wolves. And listen to me. If I've got knowledge of wolves at your door and I don't tell you about it, what does that say for me? I've got to tell you.
Right.
I've got to tell you that the King James Bible is an inspired word of God.
Yes.
I've got to tell you, because if you start believing otherwise, those are the ravening wolves.
Those
are the ravening wolves, and I don't care who in the world believes that it's not. Because if I don't tell you about it, then who am I? Now, you can run yourself to a place that because of the great success that they've had in the past, you can go ahead and run to those places, because we're just a small church here. But we've got a Word of God here that's inspired. We've got a Word of God here that's pure and perfect and whole. We've got a Word of God here that you can depend on. We've got a Word of God here that nothing can be taken away from. I tell you what, take away from me long before you take away that book. Because there's ravening wolves seeking whom they may devour. I know another devourer. I know another one. The devil is a roaring lion. He seeketh to devour. I don't want to be a devourer. I want to be a feeder. How can we feed somebody? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word. And that word is quick and powerful. We've got a book that's alive. The lively oracle. You can't ignore it. Why in the world would we try? Now we're out of time. But I'm taking time here.
Amen.
Not now. Because it's the preacher's turn. But understand this. Through these next couple weeks, we're going to point out some ravening wolves. These pews will probably empty a little bit. But I'm going to tell you, I'm pointing out the wolves. I'm going to point out the wolves. I'm going to show them to you. And you make your own decision. But you understand this. I believe that book. I believe that book from cover to cover. There's nothing wrong with it. There's not one mistake. And it's fully inspired today, just as it was inspired when the Lord let us have it. Beware. Beware of the false prophets. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to preach. Lord, I pray that this won't come across as angry. I pray, Lord, that this won't come across as mean-hearted. Because honestly, Lord, it's not any of those things. It's what you've commissioned preachers to do.
Yes.
We've got to point out. We've got to point out the things that are wrong, Lord, so we know what to do right. Lord, please help us today. Help us today to just look and see what you're trying to teach us in these scriptures. Help us, Lord, to understand that you've given us a pure, perfect, holy word. And that if anyone takes it away from it or adds to it, they're cursed. God, help us. Help us to do right. Help us to do right and not fear faces. Oh, God, we need you today. Please help us. Anoint my pastor today. Anoint my pastor to preach your word with no regrets. Preach your word with no apologies. Lord, please speak through him today. And let the folks know that these lessons are going to be brought to them with love. Not with anger, not with hatred, but with love. Please be with them today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just one more.